on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
CBS News Brief, Adobe Analytics says consumers spent a record $6.1 billion online on Thanksgiving. That's up almost 9% from last year, but this woman is waiting till today.
Going to do a lot of Black Friday shopping. I have a long list of things I've been tracking to see how the price might change.
Heavy snow will fall in upstate New York between now and Monday. WIVB-TV meteorologist Todd Santos is at the map.
It's going to be a steady, constant lake effect event that's going on over the next couple of days, but at least want everybody to know that travel is going to become very difficult this weekend.
It was not an enjoyable Thanksgiving for some Democratic members of Connecticut's congressional delegation, says CBS's Nicole Skanga.
At least five Connecticut lawmakers were the targets of bomb threats on Thanksgiving morning, according to officials. Police rushed to the scene of Senator Chris Murphy's home, plus Representatives Joe Courtney, Johanna Hayes, Jim Hines, and John Larson.
DHS warns that swatting often occurs in clusters. CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Lisa Hale. Work on requests for the state budget is getting underway in December. Terry Barr has the story.
There's a group focusing on the importance of the arts in Wisconsin, and it's getting ready to advocate for more support during the upcoming legislative budget process. Create Wisconsin is a nonprofit based in Madison and trying to expand opportunities in the arts across the state.
It's an investment in people, businesses, organizations, and communities. People are really hungry for that authentic, unique. Mm-hmm. That's what we try to nurture and to assist.
Ann Katz is the director of Create Wisconsin. She says the Badger State remains in last place when it comes to arts funding and support.
Everybody wants their community to be vibrant and healthy and have people visit and live there. And so we try to help people figure out what they need, and then we figure out how we can help them.
A post-election recap and pre-budget planning gets underway next week. Learn more about Create Wisconsin. Go to createwisconsin.org. I'm Terry Barr.
Wisconsin State Parks are moving to a new 12-month admission pass. Brittany Merlot explains the difference.
It's something that's been available in surrounding states and will now be here in Wisconsin, starting Monday, December 2nd. The new pass, available for purchase, will be valid for an entire year from the day you buy it. When previously, all passes expired on
December
31st.
I'm Lisa Hale, Civic Media News.
Even if you bought it just a few months prior in October. With the new pass, let's say you purchase it in February. It'll be good until the following February. The pass will be marked to indicate the month and year in which it'll expire. People are encouraged to save time by buying their passes online. Orders placed online will receive an email receipt with a confirmation number that can be used immediately for park entry. I'm Brittany Merlot for Civic Media News.
And I'm Lisa Hale. For these stories and more, visit civicmedia.us.
The Packers dominate the Dolphins. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers took advantage of the cold, the wind, and the snow and rolled over the Miami Dolphins in Green Bay last night. The final score 30-17. The Packers have now won three games in a row. Up next, a rematch with the Lions. Matt LaFleur.
You know, handling our business, two games in 5 days, that feels really good. And we got a great challenge in front of us going to Detroit, the premier team in the National Football League. And we're going to have to play our best to have an opportunity to beat them.
Packers quarterback Jordan Love.
We're building a good thing on offense right now. We're getting in that rhythm, finding that groove, and just got to keep being consistent. We'll take it another week at a time, and we know who we got this week coming up is a really good Lions team, and obviously they got us the first game, so we'll look at everything, look at all the film, and just the rhythm we're finding in offense right now, the way the defense is playing, you know, I think we're in a good spot.
College football, the Badgers and Minnesota Gophers at Camp Randall Stadium today, playing for the rights for the Paul Bunyan Axe. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Join us live every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 5 to 6 p.m. for Playmakers, brought to you by Quality Plus Printing. Call in with your sports thoughts and feelings only on WFHR.
Mostly cloudy and breezy today, gradually becoming mostly sunny this afternoon. Our high today in the upper teens to low 20s. Tonight, mostly clear, our low between 5 and 10. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, breezy, upper teens to low 20s. By Sunday, mostly cloudy with a high in the low 20s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 17.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
James Rundy.
I decided to throw off all my wild and crazy short film ways and make a straight-up documentary about my uncle. He was one of the small-time dairy farmers across the state that were kind of the backbone and why we got our state's name, America's Dairyland.
It was called The Last Milk. Have you ever milked a cow?
Oh, yeah.
I'm curious, but I'm scared to do it because I'm worried I might like it.
All right. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Jane Matinere and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Matt Rothschild is going to be sitting in the big chair to break down all the news with analysis and humor. Don't miss it.
Matinere on air, weekday mornings at 10. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Welcome to a special Thanksgiving marathon edition of The Kitchen's Open, the weekly show within a show which airs every Monday morning at the beginning of the 9 o'clock hour of the morning show. It was sparked by the food digressions Melissa Kay and I would have during our times co-hosting with James and has been running for 2 years. Melissa took the ball and ran with it for over a year, coming up with most of the segments and incorporating James, Seth, or myself into the fun. What we have for you this morning are four segments of the show themed around the Thanksgiving meal or its leftovers. The first episode is the episode we aired just this past Monday, November 25th, on Thanksgiving Sides. James, Seth, and I talk about the state of the sides report, what our favorite sides are, and some non-traditional options for with the Thanksgiving meal. Tell me something good. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to The Kitchen's Open on WFHR for this Monday, November 25th. Oh, Turkey Day, we gather for Thanksgiving. Oh, Turkey Day, which side is it that's winning?
Beth, the musical you're in is about Christmas, not Thanksgiving.
I know that, but both have wonderful meals associated with them. And although I do look forward to enjoying some turkey, the meal isn't complete without all of the side dishes. Mm.
I think we should have let her keep going. That was great. That was a great introduction.
Have any more written.
for some, those are even the best part of the meal. But
yeah, that's true. There are so many to choose from, and there's one for each of us that is our absolute favorite, and that it's just not the Thanksgiving meal without. Mm. For me, it's not a true Thanksgiving meal without the green bean casserole.
Mm. Okay.
You gotta have that.
That's classic, right? Yeah.
I'm just sitting there waiting for the pumpkin pie. It's really what I'm
So that's a side and not a dessert?
It's kind of a side
okay,
for me.
There you
I don't
go.
Know if
All
it
right,
counts.
That works.
I don't know if it counts.
No, it works. It works. I'll give it to you.
Is stuffing considered a side?
Yes.
Okay. I've really gotten into stuffing the last couple of years. I never ate it before, and I've just started to really like it.
Hey, yeah. It's always good to try new things. You know, I'm trying to think. I think it's got to be cranberries.
You like? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Cranberries. I will attest that that's his thing.
One or the other, both. You know, like the fresh made or the canned, doesn't matter. All cranberries are good. All created equal.
I'll tell you what, James. If you want to have a side that tastes like your pumpkin pie, if you have squash or sweet potatoes, sweeten them with your pumpkin pie spice.
That's true.
A little bit of the like a Splenda or something like that, and it makes it taste like you're having the pie with the meal.
It's true.
It's wonderful.
We've done that before, yeah.
That's already happened.
It's going to happen. Which is much better than some of the sides I had growing up. My mom always had pig stomach with it, which sounds absolutely disgusting, but think haggis in a German way. So you just use the lining of the pig stomach to cook, you know, sliced up potatoes, cabbage, and sausage. Hmm. And that was a side that we always had with our Thanksgiving meal. Hmm. So what are the top sides that we have in the country? Well, according to foodandwine.com, back in 2022, Campbell, one of the most well-known soup and sauce brands in America, began releasing its annual State of the Sides report.
It's a great title.
Isn't that wonderful? Providing a snapshot of how customers plan to celebrate Thanksgiving and, most importantly, what they plan to eat. The 2024 report just came out, so it's just been published. The report consists of a survey of responses from 5,000 Americans across all 50 states. So this is not a small sample size. Mm-hmm. And it asks them about who, family or friends, the what, which dishes, and the when, what time of day for their Thanksgiving spread. The report tallies everyone's rankings of the best Thanksgiving sides
And interesting reversal occurred this year. James, you're not alone. Whereas last year's report ranked mashed potatoes as the top side, this year, stuffing took the top spot.
Really?
Knocking mashed potatoes down a peg.
I'm surprised.
Yep. This is particularly impressive since stuffing only ranked fourth place in 2022.
Wow.
So in 2 years, it went from fourth to first.
Rising up.
That's all because of James.
Yeah. People like James checking it out.
Just completely me. That's how much stuffing I have been eating.
Boy, your mother must be really good. Yeah.
Very proud.
Doing a lot of cooking. Other top sides include sweet potatoes, green bean casserole, and mac and cheese, though individual states listed some fun outliers in their top five. So Wyoming loves cranberry sauce.
Yeah, there you go. Good for you, Wyoming.
You're not allowed to move there.
Just for the cranberries. All the cranberries are here in Wisconsin.
Exactly.
Why would I want to leave?
Why would that not be Wisconsin's top?
That's interesting. Yeah.
Virginia loves bread. New Mexico loves both of those things. Mm. And South Carolina loves green vegetables.
Really?
Yep. Not the mac and cheese you thought.
Well, it's still considered a vegetable. But I wonder if collard greens, because that's a southern dish.
Yeah. Yep.
So I'm guessing that is on a lot of tables down in the south for Thanksgiving, for sure.
Absolutely. And it's interesting, salad is not mentioned.
Oh, okay.
Anywhere in this is salad mentioned. Yeah. So I don't know if they consider that a appetizer, like the pre-dinner part or what. But, you know, that's where you can get your vegetables.
Yeah.
Right?
And I remember, I don't know if my mom did this, but my Nana, we would always serve salad, like a little salad before the meal. And we had to eat a little of it. We had to. I'll never forget that, too. Because even my pop, like everybody was held to that standard, not just us kids. My papa would not be a big salad person, but he would pick at a little bit of it just so she wouldn't give him a hard time.
That's funny. Oh, my gosh. That's my, you know, this is a little bit, I mean, it happened in Thanksgiving, too. But my grandma, my mom's mom, she would, you know, she was always one of those big meal people. You know, she would always create all this stuff for the things. It didn't matter what the meal was. Didn't matter just over for dinner. If it's Christmas, Thanksgiving, cottage cheese. Yeah. There's always a bowl of cottage cheese on the table, and I'm not sure why. There was plenty of other foods, so I don't know what it was, but
maybe
it was always there.
Your protein in a different way?
Calcium, maybe? I don't know.
She had stock. She had stock in cottage cheese.
Ironically, the first time that I realized that I actually could handle cottage cheese was with lettuce. So, there you go.
Kind of like a salad dressing.
It all comes together.
Well, these sides that we've mentioned may be the top of the list, but the list is actually pretty long. Foodnetwork.com published an article on its website that you can go to that lists 105 classic Thanksgiving side dishes you'll make every year.
I'm not going to make 105. Wait a minute. That's too
many. I don't
think
they mean for you to have them all at the same time.
I'm glad you specified that.
Well, when you look at the article, I mean, there's a lot of different potatoes there, and stuff. So,
and that's what I noticed when I was going through this article, is it's really different ways to make the things we already
basically
make. Sweet potatoes, mashed potatoes. Although there were a couple of outliers in there that aren't, you know, none of us talked about squash being at our Thanksgiving table. But squash is, this is when it's harvested. This is when it's a great time of year to have that. And there were a couple of wonderful articles in here, like an acorn stuffed squash as a side, or roasting squash can taste really good. Mm. Like I said, you could use acorn squash, or I wouldn't recommend spaghetti squash because it's too stringy.
Yeah.
But
more the solid kind.
Yeah, a solid squash that you could then cut up, roast, and mash. And then
you
add in the pumpkin pie spices, and it tastes like pumpkin pie because pumpkin is a squash.
Yeah.
So it tastes very, very similar. Sweet potatoes, you think of sweet potato pie. It's very similar, but it is a side dish. The one that I found here was called melting sweet potatoes. And, you know, when I think sweet potatoes at the Thanksgiving table, what's the first thing that comes to mind? And it's not the potato.
The marshmallow topping that they I love Thanksgiving. How can we make something that's somewhat healthy and make it totally unhealthy? Let's put marshmallows on it, right?
Yeah, if you make a sweet potato casserole, usually there are marshmallows on top that get toasted. You pop it back into the oven for a little bit and toast it. And I have a couple of little ones in my house that's the only part of that dish that they would ever
eat. Of course, yes.
the hope is that they get at least a little bit of the sweet potato with it.
Do all sweet potatoes have marshmallows with them? I'm genuinely asking.
Asking for a friend?
I'm genuinely asking because I've never heard this before.
Oh, really?
I was 47 wow. years old when really? I first heard that, yeah, sweet potatoes yeah. had marshmallows in them.
Not all of them
this.
Do.
Okay, okay.
Not all of them do.
Why did nobody tell me this?
Yes, I want marshmallows on my potatoes.
But the one that I found, the melting sweet potatoes, you slice up the sweet potatoes and then you fry them and then you put the marshmallow on top and then put it into the oven to just roast and toast that marshmallow on top. So you need to make sure that if you're going to do that, that your frying pan is oven compatible. You know, because not all frying pans can you put into an oven.
Right.
So make sure you're using one that is able to do that. Another one that caught my eye, and part of it is because I like the cake. It's an upside down butternut squash tart. Doesn't that sound delicious? It takes your favorite vegetable and it turns it over. So you start with a sheet of frozen puff pastry and you put that down, add a third cup sugar, and it sounds wonderful. You put the sugar on the bottom of the 10-inch skillet, heat over medium heat, shake the skillet frequently so that you don't burn the sugar. You want to caramelize the sugar. And then you cut off the stems and the necks with a peeler and use a mandolin, and you slice the squash as thinly as possible while keeping them in circles.
Okay.
You start to arrange one layer overlapping the squash slices over the bottom of the skillet in concentric circles. Sprinkle with half of the thyme, half of the sage, half of the teaspoon of salt. Lay down another layer of the squash. Keep doing that. And then you top it with any of the remaining squash and the puff pastry. So the puff pastry is actually on the top, not the bottom. So you start with the sugar, getting that caramelized. Lay down your squash. Then you put the puff pastry. And then you bake it for 45 minutes. You have to let it cool a little bit. And then you flip it over onto a plate.
Okay.
So it's like...
That's the upside down part. Yeah.
Yeah, it's the upside down cake that has the caramel on the top. Well, the caramel has to be made on the bottom when you're baking it. So if you're interested in this recipe, you can go to foodnetwork.com/recipes and look for upside down butternut squash tart.
That sounds good. It does sound very tasty.
To best point, there's so many of these traditional things that you can add a little twist to. You know, a lot of people are going to be making mac and cheese. I saw there's a Millinars mac and cheese that looked really good. Just using some different cheeses like Gouda and sharp edge cheddar. So I think that's a really fun idea. My buddy Will, him and his dad, it's pretty much just been those two for you know, almost 20 years now that they have Thanksgiving. They don't have a lot of family in California or any of this. So one of the things they try to do is every year they make the turkey differently.
There you go.
Sometimes they're dip, you know, deep frying it. Some years they're doing this. Last year they had an Asian turkey. I didn't get the full story on that. That's just the little synopsis that I got of it and everything. But I think that's a fun way to kind of, especially with some of these things that you've been making for decades. You know, these traditional meals. Maybe adding something a little fun to it, a little spice to it.
Right. And I wouldn't do it with everything because some people, that's what Thanksgiving is the tradition. And you don't want to mess with tradition, but it's okay to add something new or different. A vegetable I never have had at Thanksgiving, but I think would be great is, and I saw it in here, there are different recipes for Brussels sprouts. And maybe doing that with some leftover turkey grease. And if you fry it in that, it gives it that flavor, which is wonderful. There is a recipe in here for mushroom and leek bread pudding. So that's kind of like a stuffing side. A bread pudding is kind of that thicker kind of thing. So that I would have never thought to do. You know, who thinks of a leek at Thanksgiving, right?
Yeah.
Or any time, really.
They also have a spinach gratin. So we think of potatoes all gratin. You can make it with cauliflower or broccoli. This uses spinach. So that's another way to add a different vegetable that we're not usually used to having at our Thanksgiving table.
Right. Well, here's one that I came across, and it's not so much that it's a different thing that we did, but it's what my mom called them. So one of the things they put here is Parker House rolls. Those are basically just the rolls that you bake. You know, you put them, the dough down, and when they rise up, they kind of stick together. So you pull them apart, you know, when you get them, like James was talking earlier about the Hawaiian, you know, basically the Hawaiian rolls. But these were, you know, they call them Parker House rolls. My mom would make these for Thanksgiving and Christmas and all that stuff. But She called them fat pills.
Yep.
So I've always tried to figure out if it's mean they look like pills that just got fat, you know, just got exploded.
Yeah.
Or if you eat too many of them, you get fat, right?
Could be both.
But they were perfect. Oh, great stuff. But yeah, that's one of those things that this is close to being like my second, you know, have to have with the cranberries. You have to have good dinner roll with Thanksgiving, right?
Right.
To mop up all the gravy and stuff.
Is it weird that one of my favorite things in the world is bread. I love bread. Mm-hmm. I love eating bread. One of my favorite parts of it is tearing it apart. The tear.
Yes. Tearing bread apart is fun.
Oh, I love that. Yeah.
So the best advice when it comes to sides, though, is to make what you like. And mm-hmm. what we like around here is promoting our sponsors.
Nice.
So if you'd like to sponsor this segment, we'd be glad to talk to you about how we can make that happen.
Yeah, just mm-hmm. give us a call, 715-424-1300, and speak with Pam. She'll put you in touch with Ashley to work out the details.
That number again, 715-424-1300.
And with that, we'll close the kitchen.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for the Todd Allball Show.
To everyone who craves a rich and creamy hometown treat, let our team member Nevaeh tell you how we do it at Culver's.
Every scoop of Culver's fresh frozen custard is made in small batches throughout the day. Because where we come from, the little things make a big difference. Like bringing back a seasonal favorite, our salted caramel pumpkin concrete mixer and pumpkin spice shake are back for a limited time. Handcrafted with farm fresh dairy and real pureed pumpkin just for you.
From Wisconsin with love. Welcome to Delicious.
Culver's on 8th Street South. In Wisconsin Rapids.
Bringing a house of pain.
Backside pressure, down he goes. Inside the 30-yard line.
To a game day near you.
Picked off by Wisconsin, and the Badgers win it.
That's how you create a program. That's how you create a team.
Join us Friday. The Badgers battle the Gophers for Paul Bunyan's axe. Our coverage begins at 9 a.m. on your home for Wisconsin football.
Here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Trevi Olson, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project.
We as individuals need to be far better in terms of getting the tools we need to have the conversations. You're never going to shame someone out of their political beliefs.
Yes.
You're never going to get them with talking points.
You nailed it. And I think that's what some of our friends on the left don't get. And I think it's destructive and it's not beneficial.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Welcome back to this special marathon edition of The Kitchen's Open. The first of the next two episodes aired the week of Thanksgiving last year on November 20th, 2023, and has James, Seth, and Melissa talking about a Wisconsin-grown staple on the Thanksgiving table, cranberries. You'll hear about how Wisconsin Rapids is part of the Cranberry Highway, how cranberries got their name, and the many uses of cranberries, including the sauce at the Thanksgiving meal. Then we'll hear an episode originally aired the week of Thanksgiving 2022, just a few weeks after The Kitchen's Open's first show aired. Melissa and I share an assortment of ideas of what to do with the leftovers from the big meal, including tips for how to reheat things so they taste almost as good as when they were prepared, and creative ideas that may become a new go-to for your turkey leftovers. Since this episode was recorded on November 21st, before Thanksgiving Day, we discussed ways to reduce leftovers. These may be tips to consider for next year, depending on if that's the meal you really look forward to or not. Whether you need this information today or this weekend, all of us here at WFHR hope you had or are having a wonderful Thanksgiving with those you love.
Tell me something good. Hello and welcome to The Kitchen's Open on WFHR, the show within a show that's about all things kitchen and food and sometimes other extemporaneous tangents we go off on.
Wow, those are some big words for a Monday.
I'm just glad she didn't make me say them this time.
It's Thanksgiving week.
Hallelujah! I'm excited for all good stuff, rolls and stuffing and green beans and bacon. I did promise my mom I'd eat mashed potatoes this year. Maybe she won't notice if I slip a bowl of rigatoni on the table, just in case.
Don't forget the turkey and sweet potatoes, and of course, Pie. Mm. Pie. Glorious pie.
Oh, but the one thing you both forgot to mention that is or should be on every Thanksgiving table, cranberries. Mm.
I included cranberries. I said pie, didn't I? Cranberry pie is just a given.
Ah, yes, cranberries. You know, Wisconsin produces more cranberries than any other state. We grow more than half of the nation's total output of these berries.
They are grown on 21,000 acres across 20 counties in Wisconsin. Wisconsin Rapids being one of the hubs and one end of the Wisconsin Cranberry Highway.
Wait, we have a Cranberry Highway? Cranberry Highway.
Cranberry Highway. Yeah, I did the same thing. Yes.
Oh, sorry.
It should be a song.
Yeah, it should be. Yes, it's a 50-mile highway that stretches from Wisconsin Rapids to Warrens.
You know, I didn't know that, and I've lived in both places. Well, practically. In high school, I performed at the Warrens Cranberry Festival with show choir, but technically I lived in Toma. And now here in Wisconsin Rapids, we talk about the Cranberry Blossom Fest every year. Now, I was a reluctant attendee in Warrens as a teenager, but I would gladly go to the Cranberry Fest here. I really need to make that happen next year.
Did you know that the early colonists thought cranberry cranberry stem and blossoms looked like the neck, head, and beak of a crane?
Hmm.
They started calling them craneberries. Over time, they were shortened to cranberries.
Hmm. Cranberries are indigenous to the North American continent.
Blew my mind. Didn't know that. Blew my mind.
And the American Indians gathered the berries and used them for food, medicine, and fashion.
Fashion?
Fashion. Yes. It's all about, wow, nothing but songs today.
Yep.
Yes, the juice was used as a dye to brighten the colors of their blankets and rugs.
Hmm.
Oh, of course, as a dye, not wearables. Hmm. I was picturing, like, skirts made of strings.
Yes,
yes, yes. Maybe some earrings, necklaces, maybe, I don't know.
It'd be hard to wash.
Yeah.
Hard to wash.
Yeah, a little bit. Native Americans didn't cultivate the berry, but they grew in the wild in abundance. Cranberries were an important source for many things, as Seth said. The Narragansett tribe called them, and I might butcher this, Sassaminish.
Ooh, no.
Sassaminish.
I think you got that pretty good. Right.
Yeah, something like that.
Sassaminish.
They used the berries in what was probably one of the first energy or health bars called pemmican, a mixture of dried meat or fish and berries, which they pounded into a pulp, shaped into a cake, and dried in the sun.
Very good for hiking. Pemmican is great for hiking.
Would you guys eat that?
I've eaten something very similar to that. I don't know if it had, I didn't have fish in it, though.
Yeah, yeah.
I think the protein they had in the stuff I had was nuts, not actual meat, but there was a protein in there, yeah.
Yeah, that I would eat.
Yeah.
The one with the fish in it, I don't know. But that what you're talking about, I would definitely try.
Yeah,
I think if you were hungry enough, you'd eat it.
Probably.
I don't know.
Mm. So if I'm hearing this right, if I'm getting this right in my head, it feels like we've been, the whole going for a hike and having snacks or having, a trail mix or whatever. That's been a thing forever.
It has.
It's always
been
a thing. Yeah,
absolutely.
It's interesting. Mm-hmm. I thought that was
cool.
Now, cranberries were also used as medicine. They were used as a poultice for wounds and mixed with cornmeal as a cure for blood poisoning.
Notably for this time of year, historians generally agree that cranberries were on the table for the very first Thanksgiving feast.
Although we are the largest producer now, the first cultivation of cranberries didn't happen in Wisconsin. Massachusetts was the birthplace of commercial cranberry production and was the largest producer of the fruit in the U.S. until the mid-1990s. According to appsnet.org, Henry Hall, a Revolutionary War veteran, was the first person to transplant cranberries into beds in 1816.
Captain Hall noticed the cranberry vines that produced the best were in an area that often had sand blowing into it. The sand was driven in by the northeast winds on Cape Cod Bay. The method of adding sand to cranberry beds is a regular practice for cranberry growers now. The addition of sand promotes new root and upright growth for the plants. By 1820, Captain Hall's cranberry bogs were so successful, he was shipping his cranberries to Boston and New York City.
Cultivation of cranberries in Wisconsin began around the 1950s. Wild cranberries grew abundantly in marshy areas, especially in Washera and Wood counties. According to WisFarmer.com, Edward Sackett of New York is credited with starting the first commercial cranberry operation in Wisconsin. Around 1860, he purchased 700 acres of bogland in Washera County. By 1865, he was producing more than 900 barrels a year that sold for, get this, $15 a barrel.
Wow. By the year 1895, the center of commercial cranberry growing had shifted to Wood County. Later, cranberry farms developed in the Black River Falls, Warrens, and Toma areas. By 1994, Wisconsin became the number one producer of cranberries in the United States.
Another important date is 2004, when the cranberry was named Wisconsin's official state fruit.
Mm-hmm. Now let's look at the history of eating cranberries. We've already mentioned indigenous Americans use cranberries as an ingredient in energy or power bars. Cranberries.org states that they also used cranberries in sauces, puddings, and breads. English colonists were introduced to the cranberry's usefulness and took to it with alacrity.
If you've ever taken alacrity, that's such a good word. Gotta love that word. If you've ever tasted a fresh cranberry, you know that they are both sour and bitter. Mm. Cranberries have less than 4% sugar. About 95% of harvested cranberries are processed into mixed juices and canned fruit. Only about 5% is sold as fresh fruit.
Unlike other fruits, cranberries didn't need to develop sweetness to entice animals to spread their seeds. Cranberries have little air pockets at their core. These air pockets allow them to float on water and away from where they're grown. They simply propagate themselves.
Cranberries are a rich source of antioxidants, including vitamin C, vitamin E, and vitamin K. Their best known health benefits include treating or prevention of urinary tract infections and maintaining the digestive system. According to the National Library of Medicine, they can also prevent tooth decay and gum disease and reduce inflammation in the body.
What can't they do? They're amazing.
Right?
Push-ups. They can't do push-ups.
Cranberries were first canned in the early 1900s. According to the SmithsonianMag.com, Marcus L. Uren got the idea to buy a cranberry bog and can cranberries in 1912. He eventually formed a cranberry cooperative that renamed itself Ocean Spray.
Hmm.
By 1940, cranberry sauce, as we know it, was born.
Ah, yes. The canned cranberry log I know and love.
Oh, yeah.
It's probably my favorite accompaniment to turkey, besides gravy. Mm. Now, my grandma Ruth always made fresh cranberry relish at Thanksgiving, but she also served the canned sauce because she knew it was my favorite.
The best way to use cranberries is arguably cranberry pie. Well, of course it is. Mm-hmm. Now, don't get your dander up. I'm not going to go into a pie tirade. But you cannot deny the fact that this is the perfect time of year for cranberry pie. Mm-hmm. Not only is Thanksgiving this week, but also the best season for fresh cranberries.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Works out.
We just had that delicious pie that Sharon brought us at the station. Mm-hmm. The cranberry custard pie. It was so good.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Big shout out to her. Thank you so much to her for doing that. That was really cool.
Yeah.
I know quite a bit about cranberries living in central Wisconsin. That's where I've learned much. What I didn't know was that it's only been in relatively recent history, that Wisconsin has been the number one cranberry grower.
Mm-hmm.
I just kind of assumed that that's something that's been around, that's been a thing for 30, 40 years. I'm just being honest with
everybody. Right.
I just assumed that that was something that's always, but this has happened in the time that I've lived in this state.
Isn't that crazy?
Basically. It's weird. Yeah.
Yeah. That's so cool.
It's just,
that we moved probably from the number two to the number one spot.
Yep.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's quite interesting. Mm-hmm.
Very cool. Well, an easy recipe calls for fresh or frozen cranberries, sugar, orange juice, ginger, salt, orange zest, vanilla, a little cornstarch, and flour. Of course, you'll also need a pie crust. You will simply rough chop the cranberries, toss them with sugar, and let them sit for at least an hour. Add the other ingredients and cook them on the stovetop for a few minutes until it thickens. Dump the jammy mixture into the unbaked pie crust and bake in the oven for at 450 degrees for 10 minutes, followed by an additional 20 minutes at 350. The hard part is you have to cool it completely before serving. Oh boy, yeah, experience. This recipe,
like 4 hours.
Yeah, exactly. This recipe can be found at bakedbyanintrovert.com.
Nice.
Great website too, by the way.
I know, right?
It's a great name.
It's too good.
Oh, that's so good. Oh, I got to check
that. That sounds
like
a really easy pie, though.
Yes.
Yeah.
And this is why in all the comedy cartoons, you know, you have the pie sitting on the windowsill to cool off. This is why. Make sure it's cool before you dig
in. Right,
because those are going to be some hot cranberries. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes. Now, I couldn't find the raw cranberry salad recipe that my grandma used to make, but my mom had one in the cookbook she made for us kids. It calls for 2 cups of cranberries, 4 apples that are cored, 1 orange, 1/4 of the orange peel, and 1 cup of sugar. She said to put everything but the sugar in the food processor and chop it until fine. Then add the sugar and mixed well. chill in the fridge before serving. Now, if memory serves correct, Grandma's recipe was similar ingredients, but just chopped by hand instead of the food processor. Because I remember there was a lot, but like I could see the apple pieces and the and the orange pieces in there.
Okay, less of a puree and more of a
Of a relish.
Yeah, exactly. That sounds good though. Really good.
I know.
Very tart.
My Nana and my mom both always like doing different things with cranberries in their Thanksgiving meals, but incorporating it and mixing it with different things.
And by the way, having both kinds of cranberries at the meal is totally cool.
Oh yes,
yes. You can have the homemade. You can have the can. They should. Yes, everyone should have both.
I highly recommend both.
Yes,
and you know, maybe not right in calling up right now, but anytime during the rest of the show here and everything, 424-2600. Did you know where cranberries got their name? Because that blew my mind.
Nope, I did not know that.
I loved finding.
Did
that
not
out.
Know that.
God, I love finding stuff like that out. That made my morning. I was just looking over that and like, oh, this is really cool. That is pretty interesting to me.
They also called them bearberries because the
name.
Bears liked them too.
Bears like to eat them. Yeah, bearberries. Yeah.
Bearberries. I would have been okay with that. I'd have been okay with that one too.
Well, that may sound like something else that bears do. Yeah, so I'm going to be a little. Anyway.
We mentioned earlier that cranberries are both tart and bitter, but did you know that there could be sweet cranberries in the future?
Really?
Really? I did not know this.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
I like that idea.
It's true. Cranberry breeders at the University of Wisconsin-Madison have been developing ways to help growers produce better berries since the 1990s. According to an article at NPR.org by Agnes Chen, they stumbled on a sweet variety they call Sweetie. It's not produced commercially yet, but it could be the ancestor of later sweet varieties in the future that we can eat like cherries.
Oh.
That would be so cool. I'd eat those.
Oh, me too. Oh, me too. Those sound good, man.
I'm already a fan of cranberries. I'd try this.
Yeah.
Because if you bite into a fresh cranberry, they're so, like, they're crunchy on the outside. Mm-hmm. And just imagining them then being
sweet
like a cherry
on the inside. Yeah, you know, they
kind of to mouth puckeringly tart.
Right. They kind of remind me of currants, which you can actually eat off the vine because they're a little bit sweeter and they're a lot smaller, of course, than cranberries.
Yeah,
but to have a cranberry like a currant, oh, man, sign me up.
These all sound good.
They do.
And they've already got quite a few different flavors and varieties of ways they serve cranberries or just even like snack form. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah,
but they have so many health benefits to them as well, that being able to eat them fresh, I think, would just be phenomenal.
Yeah. And pie.
Yes.
And pie. That's all I need to say. Seth, is pie.
Yes, yeah. Seth. Yes.
Well, boys, I think we better wrap up the segment before Seth gets going off on pie.
Drooling.
Thank you for joining us today on The Kitchen's Open. All right. So I don't know if anybody knows, but Thanksgiving is this week.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, it's a feast for the eyes, the stomach, and the senses. After all it's said and done, what do you do with all the leftovers? So today we're going to discuss what you can do to not only physically deal with the massive amount of food you may have left over, but also ways to mentally prepare.
Always good to do both.
Yes, indeed. Now, after the big meal, I don't know about you guys, but I always like to have at least one more meal of the leftovers just straight up. So many of us enjoy that really full holiday spread, the turkey, the mashed potatoes, the stuffing, the cranberry sauce, gravy, all the sides. But how do you reheat it without losing integrity?
And it can be challenging depending on what device you're using. So, you know, a lot of us have this wonderful little box that sits on a counter in our kitchen called a microwave, which is a great place to go with it. But you need to worry about moisture with that. Mm-hmm. It can dry out very easily. So to reheat in the microwave, add something that's going to be a little bit of moisture to it. So you could add like broth, chicken broth with the turkey, something like that, or a little butter, and it keeps everything from drying out. Make sure that you cover it. Parchment paper will work. You could use a paper plate. There are actually companies that will sell a cover for over a plate. So if you wanted to do a plate instead of the container, you could do that.
For the microwave.
Yeah. Or you could always do what a lot of people like to do, is just smother it all with gravy again, because that gravy will give it the moisture that it needs. But you want to do every so often, stir it, because microwaves have a tendency to heat things unevenly. So the more that you can do that every, 30 seconds to a minute or so, that'll help it reheat evenly.
Yes. And you can also reheat on the stove, and you want to do the same thing. Add a tablespoon of oil or butter to the pan and heat it on medium. Give things a stir now and then to evenly distribute the heat, and also covering the pan will help to retain moisture.
Yep. Yep. Now, you also have to remember, leftovers are usually only good for about 3 to 4 days in the refrigerator. So after that, it starts to gather the bacteria and it could start to make you sick. So you want to make sure that you eat it within that time frame. But there comes a point where all of us kind of get sick of doing that same meal all the time. So what you can do is maybe look for things for each individual ingredient, or figure out other ways to incorporate other ingredients into that.
Well, casserole is the first obvious choice for many in the Midwest. I found this amazing recipe, which I am so excited to try. So I found it on favefamilyrecipes.com, favefamilyrecipes.com, and it combines everything. So you start with an 8 by 8 or 9 by 13 pan, however big you want to make it. And then you combine the gravy with the cranberry sauce
to give
it your base. And then you can layer in the mashed potatoes and corn or whatever other veg you have. And then add a layer of gravy, sprinkle the leftover stuffing on top of that. And then you want to drizzle a little bit of chicken broth or melted butter so that the stuffing doesn't get dried out.
Cover that
with a tin foil and bake it in a 400-degree oven for 25 to 30 minutes until it's heated through.
That sounds delicious. And that may be the one way that we can get James to eat the meal with everything touching.
Maybe.
It's true. It's very true.
And if you don't want to do everything that you had at the one meal in one casserole, try adding other things and focus on an individual side dish or ingredient that you want. We all know that leftovers are never left in equal quantities. So to make sure that you have enough. So there's always a family member who wants to eat the stuffing, or maybe takes more of the mashed potatoes or cranberry sauce. And there are some websites out there that you can go to just type in that single ingredient that you have left over, and it'll give you recipes that you can add things to. So allrecipes.com has broken things down, hasn't it, Mel?
Yeah, so you can look for cranberry leftovers, potato leftovers, turkey leftovers. Apparently nobody leaves stuffing leftovers, so there wasn't a category for that. But they have a lot of different recipes for things pertaining to turkey, such as pot pie, tetrazzini. Is that how you say that?
Yeah.
I've never eaten it, so I don't know. But I hear it's delicious.
Yeah.
Soup. Salad. There are even salad recipes out there.
Amazing that you could use all of your leftovers for salads. Parade.com also has 67 different recipes that not only includes the leftovers, but also adds another item to create new dishes in case you're tired of the same old, and having everything thrown into one pot. So things such as leftover ham tortellini, ham fried rice with pineapples, potato cups with cheddar and chives. That sounds yummy. Mashed potato casserole with crispy chicken, and leftover pumpkin pie spice bread.
Interesting.
Yeah. A fun one is a recipe for leftover crunch wrap. Think Taco Bell meets Thanksgiving.
I'm totally there for that one.
Another place you could go is maybe a family cookbook. I know I have a recipe that I got from my grandmother that uses the leftover turkey. It was originally a chicken casserole recipe, and I throw in turkey instead, and it uses elbow macaroni, cream of chicken or mushroom soup, a little bit of sour cream, and then you top it with crunched up Ritz crackers with some melted butter, and that becomes the crispy topping. It is delicious.
Ooh, that sounds really good. My mom always made turkey a la king.
Oh, yeah.
After Thanksgiving. That was her favorite thing, and I despised it as a child. I absolutely hated it because she put pimentos in there, and I just thought pimentos were disgusting.
You got to find a good recipe. Yeah.
I mean, I would enjoy it now. Like, if I could eat my mother's turkey a la king again, I would probably cry.
Yeah.
But tears of joy. But yes, no, that was her favorite thing to make after Thanksgiving.
And there are actually recipes out there if you do happen to have stuffing left over. I mean, granted, that's probably the thing that's going to go first on your table. But my mother-in-law uses the leftover stuffing and makes an egg casserole out of it for breakfast the next morning.
Oh, nice.
So if you wanted to try and set some aside, and you can find recipes online for that as well.
That's a great idea, because after all of that cooking, having something you can just pop in the oven mm-hmm. for breakfast the next day, that's a really great idea.
And you can make that the night before, refrigerate mm-hmm. it, so all it has to do is go in the oven that next morning.
That's perfect. Well, we have to, talk about soup, obviously, because you can make awesome soups with leftovers, and the turkey carcass can be used a second time to make broth that you can freeze to use later.
Absolutely, and it's such a creative medium. Almost anything can go when it comes to soup. You could simmer mm-hmm. your carrots, onions, garlic to create the beginnings, and then just go from there. Add whatever leftovers you desire with enough broth to cover and make delicious soup to eat all week. Mm-hmm. It also freezes well, so it doesn't need to be eaten for too many meals in a row, and you can keep those leftovers going for, all the way up through Christmas.
Right? So also, when you cook your turkey carcass to make the soup stock, another option you have is making bone broth. Mm. I don't know if you've been hearing the word, excitement around bone broth lately.
Yeah.
It's similar to making soup stock, but you simmer the bones for a long time.
Okay.
So I usually cook mine in low on the crock pot overnight or for at least 12 hours.
Wow.
If you add a little bit of apple cider vinegar, that will help break down the animal proteins in the connective tissue.
Okay.
And that adds more nutrition and more protein and more collagen to your broth. So the bone broth is really good for your joints, digestive system, and skin. It also makes a really delicious soup.
It sounds like a great base for a soup. Mm-hmm. So what if you don't want to have a variety of leftovers and you still want to have some ideas of what to make in that next week? What can we do?
Yeah. If you don't want to have leftovers, you could ask each of your guests to bring a Tupperware dish with to take leftovers home, or just have a stock of empty containers on hand that you don't mind giving to your guests to take stuff home with them.
Mm-hmm.
It's an awesome way to make sure that the food gets used, and it takes the onus off you as the host to fit everything into your fridge afterwards.
Yeah, and these are great ideas if you don't want to have to worry about making all those leftover meals afterwards. Mm-hmm. You could plan your meal as a potluck and have everyone bring their dish, and then that way they can take their dish home with them, and you're not left with their leftovers as well.
Right, right. Another great idea is to use freezable dishes to create those casseroles or easy to reheat meals that you can immediately freeze to use later.
Mm-hmm.
This is a great idea if you want easy family meals on weeknights or quick things to grab to take with you for work.
Yeah.
You just have to have a microwave at work to heat them up.
And remember to add the moisture.
Right. Put that pat of butter in before you throw it in the freezer.
But the big thing with Thanksgiving is the time that we get to spend with friends around the table eating all of this delicious food. So enjoy that time together.
And don't stress about it.
Right.
And hopefully this will give you some tips and ideas mm-hmm. to help make that time enjoyable.
And the internet is always a great place to go for ideas.
Oh goodness, yes. There's so many recipes out there.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, I think we should close the kitchen.
I think with that, the kitchen's closed, James.
Kitchen's closed, everybody.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Lisa Hale. If the holiday season or even the weather has you feeling sad, there is something you can do and a number you can call. Terry Barr has more.
If happy and holidays isn't quite ringing true for you, you're not alone. A recent survey shows close to 40% of people feel extra stressed during this time of year. The best thing health experts say you can do? Check in with others and talk about how you're feeling. Here's Dr. Kristen Lierley.
I see it all the time, and I think that there is a rule of thumb that we can apply across the board, which is ask someone how they're doing and then listen. We try to solve their problems. No, it's not your job to solve their problems. It's your job to be their ear.
And Wisconsin has a confidential crisis number you could call or text. It's 988. It offers extra support every day, including the holidays. More than 130,000 people in our state have used the 988 number since it started in 2022. I'm Terry Barr.
Meteorologist Brittany Merlot tells us what kind of winter weather we can expect this year.
Wisconsin experiences an average of 3 to 6 winter storms during the season, but last season was slow for snow. In fact, tons of businesses suffered with the lack of it, especially in the Northwoods. but things are changing in the weather pattern.
So a weak La Nina tends to be better for that, to keep it snowing, that and frequent systems, the Alberta Clippers, as we say. So a lot of nickel and dime snow opportunities, more frequent cold air intrusions too.
That's Matt Friedline at the National Weather Service.
Today is Black Friday, but tomorrow's the big day for small businesses. Founded in 2010, the first Saturday after Thanksgiving became Small Business Saturday, an effort to help small businesses gain local support during the busiest of shopping seasons. In 2023, U.S. shoppers spent $17 billion at small businesses on Small Business Saturday. I'm Lisa Hale for Civic Media News.
This is Beth, host of The Kitchen's Open. One of the things I'm thankful for is to spend time with you each Monday morning. May your Thanksgiving be happy, healthy, safe, and blessed. Happy Thanksgiving.
We're all thankful for the many blessings we've received this past year. Relatives and friends from near and far will descend on our homes to eat the biggest meal of the year. Watch football and then eat some more. And what happens next? Well, we all know what happens next. That's why right now is a great time to get your holding tanks and septic systems pumped out for the holiday season ahead. Call Crockett Septic today at 715-712-3456. Crockett Septic, where our trucks smell like sweet cherry pie because the pumpkin pie is all gone.
Crockett Septic serves you near or far. Holding tanks, septics pump right there in your yard. They got porta potties ready for you too. They'll pump away that stinky nasty poo. Crockett Septic, be there in a jiff. Crockett Septic, no more nasty whiff. Crockett Septic, they won't make you cry. Their bumper trucks smell just like cherry pie. Yeehaw!
Whew, I don't know about you, but I get shivers every time I think about the upcoming cooking for the holidays. I'm not the best cook or great with hosting parties, so it's always stressful. This year is different, though. This year, I'm ordering my dinner pre-made from El Cafe in Port Edwards. I got full three-course meals for all and a homemade pie. Now, all I need to be in charge of is the dishes, and I can handle that. Don't worry about your holidays. Call El Cafe today. Let them do the heavy work and take your holiday back and enjoy.
Join Lou Rugani for the Music of the Stars every Sunday morning from 7 a.m. until noon. Lou brings back the nostalgia from the golden age of radio with the music, drama, and comedy shows that made radio magic. Music of the Stars is sponsored by Lakeland Care, providing personalized support that aims to improve quality of life and maintain independence for elders and those with disabilities. It's the Music of the Stars. Sunday at 7 on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids' home of Nightlight with Peach Schwabba.
Welcome back as we conclude our special Thanksgiving marathon of The Kitchen's Open. Our final episode originally aired on August 21st last year about leftover containers. It is a special episode near and dear to our hearts because it won the 2023 Best Radio Show by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association. Written in the classic radio drama style by Melissa Kay, James, Seth, and Melissa have fun talking about missing Tupperware lids. They also talk about the history of reusable containers and how they evolved over the years. We hope you've enjoyed this special marathon edition of The Kitchen's Open, and we wish you and yours a safe and blessed Thanksgiving holiday. Welcome to The Kitchen's Open here on WFHR. This week, we're talking food containers.
Like tin cans and bottles?
Not quite. We're going to dive in into what we use to store leftovers in.
Wait, you mean we're going to finally have an answer to where the matching lids to my plastic containers went?
This week on The Kitchen's Open, the case of the missing Tupperware lid.
Ooh, I knew we'd get to this eventually. Drama in the kitchen.
It was a dark and stormy night. As Esmeralda searched for her missing green sock, she walked into the kitchen lit by flashes of lightning.
As she crossed the linoleum floor, she saw to her horror the Tupperware drawer was open.
Had someone or something been in her kitchen? It was the second week of blue lids going missing.
She felt the frustration rise up to her throat like a scream, ready to vent her rage to the skies.
Okay, seriously, guys, can we focus here? We all know the end of the story.
Okay. Sorry about that, Melissa.
Everybody knows how this tale ends. Can we get back on track now?
You take the fun out of everything.
I know. I'm just the spoil sport wanting to talk about leftover containers.
To be fair, that topic does cause some drama in the kitchen all on its own, even without the dark and stormy night stuff.
All right, fine. But you know, I was just getting into my groove there.
Well, maybe we'll come back to it.
But for now, let's talk about the different containers we all have in our kitchens currently.
Oh my gosh. I got glass. I got plastic. I've got probably something that I've never identified yet. Yeah. Something there. I prefer. I know we're talking about Tupperware maybe a little bit, but I love the glass. We got this set of glass ones that have this really cool plastic lid that kind of that's got flaps on it.
Can flip it open for the steam?
Yeah, exactly. And it's got a little hole in the top that you can cover if you want to, but you can do it. So I really like those.
That's cool.
I still have my share of Tupperware, though, too.
I got to say, Seth, I am impressed, or not, with your selection.
I
actually am impressed. I could try to list some things off, but you guys know me. I don't eat things that leave leftovers. I cook for myself. Who wants part of a leftover double bacon cheeseburger? No one in human history has said that. Seriously, though, the best leftovers are pasta. As everyone knows, leftover pasta should be stored in glass containers. You know, the tomato sauce stains plastic, and then they just look and smell bad forever. And even if you clean it's good, it's still the stain is still there.
That's very true, James, especially the plastic we all used when we were kids.
So back to the conversation about how to store leftovers.
Yes. So storing food in plastic containers is usually okay in the fridge or countertop. The danger comes with heating plastics. We know there are some plastic containers that should never be heated, but some are, quote, safer, unquote, than others. The dangerous plastics contain BPA and should always be avoided if possible.
The BPA chemicals are found in various types of food packaging. You can reduce your exposure by avoiding plastic with recycling codes 3 and 7. If you expose these plastics to heat, such as microwaving, you risk transferring the chemicals to your foods.
BPAs are added to plastic to help them keep their shape and pliability, but they have been linked to negative health issues, including hormone disruptions, respiratory issues, and cardiovascular diseases.
So we could get into the weeds with discussions about the different plastics and what's good or at least better and what's bad. But instead, let's talk about other alternatives you can find to store leftovers in. As Jane mentioned earlier, one of the best options is glass containers.
Glass is a great option. The marinara sauce stays fresh. It never stains the container. Other flavors don't leach into it. My leftover pasta is still great the next day, and I can remove the lid and pop it right on into the microwave without a worry.
Glass containers can also go into the freezer and the oven. Of course, you'll also want to remove the lid for the oven. Most glass containers come with plastic lids. It's recommended not to put them in the microwave or even the dishwasher. They will last longer and the less heat they're exposed to.
Another great option, and one I'm actually currently looking into, are silicone containers. I have a couple of silicone reusable bags that I like using, but they also have a full array of containers. You can find ones that nest into each other for easy storage, or ones that even collapse.
I've seen the bags. Those are nice and come in multiple sizes. You can even get a special stand to dry them on.
The important thing is to know about silicone is it doesn't go cheap. The cheap versions often still contain plastic fillers. If you twist silicone and it changes color, it has plastic filler in between the layers. You want to make sure you are buying products that contain 100% silicone.
Silicone is a man-made inorganic polymer. Food-grade silicone is non-toxic and does not contain petroleum-based chemicals. It's made from non-toxic silica, a natural compound that makes up over a quarter of the planet's crust and is found in rocks, clays, and sand.
Another great property of silicone containers is that they're antifungal and non-stick. They're also more durable than plastic and have a longer lifespan. They can be used in the freezer, microwave, and many of them even in the oven. They're dishwasher-safe and resistant to food oils and most chemicals.
So I really do think I'm going to invest in these for leftovers and also for preparing meals that can be frozen and then taken on the road and reheated in the microwave or a heating element. The silicone containers I'm looking at are actually shaped like bags, but they have a flat bottom and stand up on the counter even when they're empty. So the company I'm researching is based in Texas, so they're American-made, and the product is called ZipTop. I'm only in the early stages of research, so I don't know if I can recommend them yet, but their marketing is pretty awesome. You guys will have to check out the commercial. It's hilarious.
All right. Well, if you do get them, you'll have to let us know how they work out.
I will. They're not cheap, but I think the investment is worth it for our health in my household and the future of the environment. It's possible inventors may still do something with seaweed-based plastic alternatives, But for now, this looks like the best option to replace the plastic in my kitchen.
We have to work with what we know. When these products first came about, the effort behind them was to protect elephants and turtles.
Well, that didn't exactly pan out as planned.
Yeah, but they didn't know that then, or at least that's what we tell ourselves. Now that we know more about what harm these chemicals are causing to humans, animals, and the environment, I find it important to make what improvements I can in my daily life to mitigate plastic use.
Oh, very well said. I think we're running out of time, though, Mel.
You know, I guess you're right, James. We should probably thank our sponsor and close the segment.
Wait. The lightning intensified as the storm rolled in. Esmeralda turned to follow the trail of microplastics to the laundry room.
She hesitated to turn on the light. She didn't want to alert anyone of anything to her lurking, searching, inquisitive presence.
The frustration after not being able to find the blue lid again the week to cover her leftover lasagna had turned her into a raging fury, much like the storm outside.
She approached the dryer with the intensity of a detective on the trail of a murderer. It wasn't a murderer she was seeking, but the unaccounted...
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News.